Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the
Place to be.
The place to be, yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so.
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
And welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero. And all of a sudden, my voice sounds like shit. I don't know, Scott. What's going on? Am I going to make it through this whole show?
Hey, I'm back in my own home haunts, so...
I don't know. Allergies? Why don't you set the show up while I take a sip of water here?
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another wonderful episode of the Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Scott Criscola. Yes, indeed, back in the haunts. I'm no longer in a crumpled up hotel in Kandahar.
That's too bad. I liked it
hiding behind a blown up Volkswagen, or hiding behind a blown up Volkswagen or something. And joining me as always is the co-host with the most, Mr. Justin Rosero.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Okay. So I don't know if this is allergies or what. All of a sudden, it's hit me when I came down to the PTB man cave down here. But something's going on, so hopefully I'll be able to gut through it. But also joining us to help gut through it is our buddy Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how you doing tonight?
Doing okay, but 5 seconds in, you already made it a PG-13 show. Good job, man.
We're going to get to R shortly, so.
Yes. All right, so, tonight.
Yes, go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was going to say, tonight on the Place to Be Podcast, JR, it is a very special night tonight. Number one, because we have the Motor City Madman with us, but... we are entering uncharted waters. It's been a long time since you and I have delved into something we never, did before. That this could go down like PTB 100, or could go down like that baseball postseason offseason.
Hopefully, better than that.
Yes. To recap very quickly, PTB Nation put up a request list of other vintage vaults for us to do. Of course, do the chronological. Run of WWE pay-per-views, and of course later this week we will have In Your House International Incident. But people just thought we should do other stuff, and I'm touched, because it means you and I have the ability to do anything, really, and I applaud that and I appreciate that. But we've we're almost like the alternate commentary on a DVD. PTB Nation made a list of events, movies, shows, pay-per-views, free shows, all sorts of stuff for us to do, and tonight I feel it necessary, and you agree as well, that we need to do the thing that we pretty much mock and air more than maybe our own voices.
And we've been teasing that we're going to review this since, like, last June, I think, at least.
Yeah, like episode 12. And so tonight, in episode 133 of the Place to Be Podcast, we are going to vault, and we're leaving the door closed so Mr. Belding can keep sleeping. This is separate. We are going to go over Beyond the Mat.
Yes. So what we're going to do is the three of us have it all queued up at the same spot. We're going to hit play at the same time momentarily. And we're just going to watch the movie and bullshit here with you. We're going to, cut it up. We're going to talk about it. We're going to review it. We're going to go off on tangents. Should be a lot of fun. And we encourage you, if you're in the position to do so, watch it yourself. Sync it up as you listen to this podcast. And you can enjoy the experience the same way we are. So, gentlemen, if you have your remote controls ready.
I do.
Indeed.
Okay, we'll count us down, and at one, we'll all hit play, and hopefully we'll be synced up. Are we ready?
Yes.
All right, three.
Yes.
Two, one. We all have the big puddle of ooze showing up here. With the
puddle of ooze. Yep. There is Imagine Entertainment.
Yes. Now, can you imagine?
Aren't they a subsidiary of... Yeah, the subsidiary of, I forgot which one. Oh, there we go. Now the cheesy thing comes on the screen.
Yes, well, this is immediately when you can tell it's a documentary.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Barry Blaustein.
This movie came out on March 17th, 2000, so it actually came out like 2 weeks before WrestleMania 16.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jordan, did you see this in the theater? I was talking to Scott off air before we started. I did. I know I did.
Yep. I went and saw it in the theater. I actually got my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, to go see it with me, which is a rare feat for a wrestling fan.
I actually did not see this in the movies. I actually saw it. I don't remember many theaters where I lived having it. It was very weird. I ended up seeing it on HBO when it came on. So, So Barry Blaustein here is, what, talking about his olden days.
Yeah, how he was a wrestling fan as a child, and he was kind of embarrassed of it and kind of put it away and went into the wrestling closet, if you will, for a while.
There's Sylvester Turkai without his beard.
Yes, Mr. Sandow.
So JR, was this like your days at the Sunrise Musical Theater? Guys wearing suits and cigars?
I do like Sandow refining his character over 11 years ago on this.
Right.
Actually, it looks more like it's like if Great Khali and Sandow had a love child. That's who this guy is.
I almost said it looks like Sylvester Turkai.
Yes, as well. And there is Stephen Colbert takes his son away, and now we flash ahead to Mr. Blaustein watching ECW.
Yes,
Jerry Lynn and RVD.
He just watches in total darkness, just the TV and nothing else in his house.
It's not creepy at all.
Oh, there's a shot of WrestleMania 6 and all these other 13.
Ahmed in his thinner days.
Yes, slightly before he became Ahmed squared.
Right.
Yes. There's Stone Cold. I believe that's the. We're just going through a montage now of all sorts of wonderful things. Francine.
Yeah, just a bunch of different clips that kind of get over how far definitely, I think wrestling has come.
Yeah, definitely an ECW fan so far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll see that, I think, throughout the movie here. A lot of ECW and even some indie stuff that they're showing now. And, of course, that's a heavy focus, the dichotomy of indie and pro. Or not, I shouldn't say pro, but indie and, major league.
Do you think Blaustein still has that awesome mullet?
I hope so. I think we're gonna see a lot of classic mullets in this presentation.
Oh yeah, that's WrestleMania 14. There, the big tag battle royal, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. They use that. Remember,
speaking of Ahmed, is that just music playing? Is that Ahmed's music playing in the?
It might have been. I think WWF used that WrestleMania 14 tag battle royal as like Royal Rumble like fake footage for a long time, like when they were pimping the Rumble.
Right.
Odd choice. It's not like they didn't have 13 Rumbles before then to use for footage. Of course, now we kick off the movie with Mr. Blaustein taking a trip through Titan Tower. And I think we all know where this is headed shortly.
I've been in that lobby. I actually dropped off my resume there in 1997, a few years before this show.
Really?
And Vince did the cackle at you.
Yeah.
And what did you think of this? I mean, you know, Blaustein did this at the exact right time because it's right before Vince got all paranoid and kind of shut things down. It's when he was desperate because they were underneath and they were willing to do something like this to get exposure.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the office where Stone Cold decided to have the beer budget.
Yes, most likely.
I think it was that office in there.
Talked about brass.
Of course,
tacks.
This was before the block logo became the scratch logo on the top of the.
I was just thinking that there's a lot of stuff they had to replace there.
Yeah, so this had to be like, they're probably filming this like late 96, early 97, I'm guessing.
Oh, there's Tess rocking a fanny pack. We should do a fanny pack count. I see one.
Oh, Giant Silva.
Hey, Giant Silva.
So bad, dude. So bad, dude.
Yeah, he is a so bad. You're right. He is a so bad, dude. We make movies. I called that one. I think there are a lot of lines I'm going to remember. We ran this thing into the ground in college. We were beyond the Mataholics. So now we have Vince doing some directing of Dude Love. So and now this must be like mid-97 then they were doing this. If Dude's
and
involved.
And standing to his right.
Mr. Vince
standing
Russo.
Standing to his right. There it is. Vince Russo.
So is this... I love Vince's pants pulled up way up to his chest.
Oh my God, they're so high.
God, Russo.
Vince Russo before he burned himself out when he actually was the smart one.
Talking to
Sable.
Sable.
No close-ups of her.
Russo, I mean that's not just a mullet. That's a greased up mullet. That's another level of mullet.
Look at that cell job.
I do like this, Jim Johnson, telling us how he makes Vader's music.
Yeah. Man, how young do you think he is? God, they were doing, what was he, like 12 in 1987 when he made Real American?
Eat your heart out, Rick Springfield.
Yeah, there's Vader who looked no different than he did two nights ago on Raw.
Yes. A little slimmer.
I know, right?
Good old Sultans. Yeah, this is a cool little, you know, inside look what they're doing, showing the different, how the costumes are designed and the merchandise and the music. I thought that was a nice touch that they added in here to really get behind the scenes, something we don't see often.
Mm.
Jim Ross. So this is before his recent Bell's palsy attack, because he, he's looking much younger there.
Oh, yeah. I'm already, Vince looks at least 15, 20 years younger, which I guess he is.
Right, yeah. Linda looks exactly the same.
Right.
I feel like we've already watched half of WrestleMania 14, and we're 5 minutes into this movie.
Now, is that, okay, Jim. I was going to say, I didn't know if that was a man or a woman there for a minute.
Was that the room where they had the beer drinking contest? Hey, there he is.
This androgynous merchandise person. Scott, did you own that? Steve,
what's that?
Did you own the Steve head? Whatever this is.
No, it's actually a motion detector in the eyes.
Is that what that was?
I think our friend Doc wanted to get that.
Oh Lord.
Fanny pack 2.
Oh, all right.
Had a fanny pack.
Keep the count going over there.
All right.
So of course this is Derek Drozdoff coming in. Oh, look at that little Lord Tensai cameo.
It's Tensai
and the Pritchards. Is that Stasiak back there? What the hell's that?
I don't know.
It could have been Billy Gunn, maybe.
It could have been. Like a draws
Tensai
meeting with
the...
Fanny
packs. That's a computer back there, too.
We got Vince and JR and Shane here meeting with draws. Of course, this is an iconic scene.
So this is probably, based on the fact that there's a WrestleMania 14 poster, this is probably like either December 97, maybe January 98.
Probably. Because they already had the... I don't think they had the Tyson and all that set up. This has to be a little bit later now.
So maybe it might even be after. It might be middle 98, possibly. Because when did Draws actually make his debut?
Draws debuted in, like, May. So this is probably, like, spring. I think we need a little audio here.
Draws, of course, played for the Denver Broncos in the NFL. And that's how he got hooked, because didn't they catch him throwing up on the air? Or on,
yes.
On camera.
Puke is good. I think puke is nice.
Puke is good.
Heard that. That's great.
No, that's right.
Everybody always gives me stuff about it. That's good.
No. It's.
So this is Vince's office where Stone Cold dropped all that
sounds good to me.
Ready to roll with it.
Okay.
That's
where Draws was sitting.
Okay. And that's going to be right back over here.
Oh, no. I've been waiting for this. Okay. I guess.
You want a little coffee or what?
Huh? Oh, God. I think I'll be here some more.
Huh? Try not to get it on the rest of my table here. Huh? Can you do that? Huh? You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh, my God. He's gonna puke!
Oh, man.
That should sound familiar to most PTB Nation members.
That is quite true, yes. Indeed. That's funny.
Do you think that's what Draws is most famous for? Well, I guess maybe not. We know later what he's most famous for. But,
one of the good things that he had, yeah, exactly.
Oh, our first factual inaccuracy, Justin Incredible.
Yes.
Of course, that doesn't make quite make sense.
A putz.
Yeah, well, you know, he's of course, everything's Vince's fault.
Is this before he took Andy's lighter? We're not sure.
Yes, it is.
Of course, this guy is a Connecticut native. Lived in the... kind of up the 84 corridor in the Waterbury area.
This is like the bitter guys. God, X-Pac was thin. This is like the bitter guys.
Yeah. There's Rock in the background and Val Venus.
Yeah, the big guy segment. You have Al Snow bitching about what was Broken Promises and Justin Incredible as well. Jordan, you still with us over there?
Yes. I believe he is.
Okay, there he is.
Ah, there you are.
Okay. I think I lost you for a couple minutes, but I
think I screwed things up. I'm not going to do that again. I tried to play the audio really loud and give everyone some ambiance, so I apologize if I messed things up.
Oh, that's all right. Off of the wild swelling. Okay.
Afa, now a WWE Hall of Famer.
It's so weird that some of these guys they dig up, you know?
Yeah.
At the time, yeah. Now they're all working for the company.
Yeah, that's true. So,
oh, yeah. Right.
This is...
Coco with a C.
There we go, JR. There's your point.
Coco spelled well.
This is the... I'm going to get to a story about this in a second, but that Afa eating sushi before sushi was in vogue to eat. So yes. It's impressive there. Coco... this is the epic story where he tells of how he got fired because he got in a fight, and Vince gives his explanation, you know, and, well, I had to fire Coco because Coco got in a fight with one of the agents. But we had to do a dramatic scene in our theater class junior year, and here's a John Walters, Hurricane John Walters / AJ Brewer story. Me and him teamed up as we always did, and we redid a scene of a promoter getting to fight with a wrestler, and I was supposed to basically be Vince, and he was a wrestler, and we did this whole thing about how Vince had fired Coco and why he fired Coco, and so we go back and forth, and it ends with him like throwing me into this wall, and all these pipes fell on my head and everything, and so the teacher at the end, you know, he's a little flamboyant, and he's like, "Now, John, why would you enter into business with this man? I thought you talked to Coco and you heard the way he treated him." It was really funny. He had no idea who the fuck Coco was, but we all knew. I liked the Meltzer. I liked the Meltzer cameo there as well, by the way, Dave Meltzer.
By the way, the other factual inaccuracy, I don't know if you noticed, Coco's name was spelled like Coco Puffs.
Yes.
It isn't Coco with a K, it's C. So there's factual inaccuracy number two there.
Draws, of course, getting the good news here and calling his parents, and if only he knew where this was headed.
I think it's interesting that even a guy like Draws gets to sit down with Vince. I mean, he was just a nobody.
Right.
You know, just picture who's been in Vince's office for a sit-down interview, you know? Like, just the scrubs of all scrubs.
Speaking of...
speaking of nobodies.
we get to the bottom of the barrel
here
now.
We go.
And...
This guy's the true heel of this whole production. This fat,
such an asshole,
jackass.
Look at those glasses. You know, he reminds me of JR. Reminds me of that guy that we saw at the show. You know, the guy, the old guy there at the end.
Fucking Mox.
Called us all Mox. Guys are all Mox.
Yeah, my favorite.
I think he reminds everyone of someone they've seen at an indie show. Yes.
My favorite part's coming up here, where he tells these guys about nutrition and how to eat.
Yeah. He's got a fucking salami hoagie hidden in his freaking desk.
Right.
Look at this fucking guy. It looks like for anyone who was in the Northeast used to watch Cody Boynes. I don't know if anyone else remembers him at all. He had like a public access show where he did like wrestling news. He basically read the Observer. That guy looked just like Cody.
Is that plywood right in the middle of their mat?
I wonder how many back injuries they had.
Oh my God!
It's Cody.
It looks like they're about to be drafted.
I know.
Here's your shotgun. Go hide behind that
bunker. Look at the can of. Blasty definitely nailed this shot perfectly. The can of soda as he's talking about reading labels and nutrition.
With his fucking shorts that are five sizes too small. Ah, the days with full size monitors.
Yes.
These guys look petrified. I'd be too if this guy was telling me that I need to hit the gym.
If you don't pay, you don't play.
This guy looks like Savio.
That's racist.
Tony Jones. Jones.
Wow, how tall is that woman?
Yes, Jesus. Either that or Tony's like fucking 7'2".
Right.
Tony, I know JR talks about it later, but I mean, Tony is just definitely needs to bulk up a little bit. I mean, he's got a decent look. I don't know. He's surprised he never got a shot. I don't remember what happened to him at all after this. I don't remember hearing much about him.
I mean, definitely the look. He wasn't, you know, totally overblown, jacked up. I mean, he was in good shape. And you got this fucking guy telling him he's not in good shape. All right. Looks like he ate his mother.
Uh, I mean, I can't even make a chins joke because it's just one giant jowl. It's
not a, there's too many of them.
And not even multiple chins. It's just. All right, now there's Mike Modest, of course. He was someone that kind of was a big deal on the indie scene. He was in WCW.
Yeah, he showed up in WCW for a bit, yep.
Yeah, the dying days.
Oh, sweet God. It's like LaRue's bedroom.
Yes. Right down to the cats.
Several cats.
Oh, that's uplifting.
I know, right? Yeah, the original Undertaker here.
That's right.
May his practice and become part of the ministry around this time.
That's a pretty nice velour body bag, though, at least. I
was more impressed by the van they were transporting around in.
Right. I agree with you, Jordan, though. That's like, That's like high-end death right there. It's like, yeah, going out in style.
Gym Wars. Do you think they use that van later in the night to drive the guys to the indie show? They pick up bodies in it during the day?
Well, you know they did.
Oh, Jesus.
APW Gym Wars. I think this promotion still going. Look at this guy. He can't even fucking get up and move his chair. He's trying to slide it. LaRue's twin brother.
He's Coco Tits. Is that Dan Spivey?
Spivy. Yeah, kind of looks like him.
Well, I don't know.
Lives are going to be.
He's awesome. Just fighting a fucking fan.
Shane McMahon getting in the way there.
I sent my my son Shane to APW Gym Wars.
Wait, is that Glacier? He looks like half Waylon Mercy, half Heidenreich.
I don't know. Yes, a
little bit of Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker in there, too.
There we go. Here's JR studying the footage with his fucking beta player.
John Wayne.
Yes.
John Wayne back there.
It's John Wayne stand-up. Oh, God. Where was this? Was this, like, eastern Pennsylvania? Is that where this was again?
No, California, APW.
This is, like, California, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay, that's right.
This is where Roland...
Are they still kicking, do it anything?
I think they are. I think they are. I love this Roland cracking out the tears here.
As he chews. Trying to catch each tear in his mouth. Four.
I need to up my salt intake.
Oh my God! These are beepers.
You know, it's like he you get this big tryout for your guys. You're going. You're trying to make an impression. You know, why don't you fucking dress up, man? You can land a job or something instead of showing up in sweats and a fucking t-shirt.
I know.
They're like, Roland, we forgot the ring apron. Can you take your sweatpants off? I'm gonna borrow it.
It's corny.
Yeah, trying to give these guys the rundown for the dark match. And what do you think Vince thought? If he, knowing Vince is like penchant for being healthy and hating disgusting people, when he looked at Roland Alexander, what do you think his reaction was?
I know. You train people?
I'm gonna puke!
Wow, this must be some house show. Look at the size of that. That ramp is like 3 feet long. This must be some really small house show.
I don't think it was a house show. I think it was a TV taping.
Is it must be Raw.
Yeah,
yeah,
Tron is there. Oh, there you go. Here's the rundown.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus. Notes about the gang wars. It's the last thing I want to see. Yes.
Dan Severn listed on there.
I love how Val's walking around with everybody else in a towel.
It's his gimmick, man. He lives it to the end. And yes, I love the Severn Severn cameo as well, Jordan.
Yes. Oh, there's Golga.
Yep.
Yeah, there's DX.
Talking to Jarrett, breaking kayfabe. With Kevin Kelly prancing around in the back. But, you know, Roland, he's not gross enough. He's got the double hoop Aaron going as well.
Does anybody want to buy a Kane mask? Hey, Brother Love.
Sitting gorilla.
Who's that squatting down there? Is that Midian?
I didn't even see him. It might have been, probably.
I think it was.
God, Roland is so fucking
disgusting. Is Val in his towel?
Right, here we go. Well, God, look at that friggin' arena packed in already.
Oh, my God. Not an overly, doesn't seem like an overly big place. Seems
no.
Like it probably seats about 10. So. Yeah.
I mean, we're still looking at probably mid 98 with some of the guys we're seeing in the locker room.
Christopher Daniels in the background there.
Who was it, Christopher Daniels?
Yep, mm-hmm.
He was doing
heat.
Is
that heat? Who that was?
Yeah, I think he was doing heat matches.
I think that was him.
Yeah.
All Roland is thinking right now. is I wonder if I ate the turnbuckles like Georgie animals feel what they were tasting.
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, gosh.
I like the idea of Vince watching the match, though.
He tells, I gotta run. Can you just fire these guys, please?
And JR basically is saying he needs to take steroids. I'll enjoy that as well.
Oof. It's like the Celtic Crossing?
Yeah, it was like they pop like it was a brand new move. That was the Emerald Frozen in video games.
Is that the Thrasher or Mosh in the background there?
Yeah, he says he's going to steal the move. Everything about Roland disgusts me, right down to the fucking tinted glasses.
The funny thing is, every time he's on screen, it appears his face is zoomed in on, even if they're taking a wide shot. You can't help it. Oh, it's a Pepsi
God,
man,
stop
of course.
It.
Let's hope they don't ever redo this in 3D or anything.
Or IMAX or something.
Yeah, we'll never see you again. Thanks for coming. The next time you
the
compete,
talking to Shane?
The next time you compete on a major stage, the company's going to close down within weeks. Sorry, Mike. I mean, don't they look around him and look at this guy that's training them and is like, wait, what?
You know? Seriously. Oh, my God.
Well, at least he's drinking water now.
Yeah.
Pretty cool of Foley here to go up to these guys and, you know, congratulate them. And
you see everybody else is walking past him before that, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to see.
We're not going to let you watch the rest of the show. Hit the brakes.
Roland returned his rental car. He immediately received a bill for crushing one of the front seats down to dust. here's Scott's boy.
Are.
All right, Blaustein.
Oh, thank you, Barry.
Yes, Blaustein lets us know that the Funker was his favorite.
Thank you, Barry. You're the best, Barry.
So here we go. Down to Amarillo. Now, we're not doubling up on the mullet count, right? We already counted Blaustein's.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well.
You know, it's funny because Roland seemed like a guy who'd wear a fanny pack, but I'm guessing that this wasn't one that fit him. He probably had a double up.
There's no way.
There we go. This is just sad. I mean, God, this is...
Oh, this part's sad. Yeah.
This is 14 years ago, and he's, like, still kind of going.
Right.
He's like, it takes me, like, 14 hours to get out of bed every morning.
Honey, will you call Dennis? We're going to have breakfast.
You know, they knew that they were filming on this day. They couldn't have had him wear, like, a pair of shorts or something to bed instead of his fucking tighty-whities.
Right.
The only thing would have been better if he just sleeping like in a fucking jockstrap or something.
Kind of like that underwear that Triple H was wearing when Scott Steiner ripped all his clothes off.
Oh, Lord. That poster you have in your bedroom, yeah?
We're not. I thought that wasn't for this podcast. Never mind. Oh my God, I look like shit.
Got it. And this, the video of the show now is from his original retirement back in 1983.
Wow.
That looks like that's when he won the NWA World Champion. That's got to be probably 76 or something, probably.
Forever.
Actually, I think this is after he won the Bob Orton lookalike contest.
Yes. Right down to the hepatitis bloody mask.
Right.
Exactly.
You know what? This always makes me laugh too because I don't care for men named Kelly, and that's the guy's name that's marrying Funk's daughter is Kelly.
Ugh.
I apologize to any male Kellys that are listening to this show. Apparently, this is a zombie wedding based on the makeup that's going on here. The zombie jamboree.
Couldn't this have been like deleted material? Good God!
And Roland Alexander and drag.
Oh. It's Mimi from the Drew Carey show, I think.
Yes, it's Mimi.
Or it's one of the Rosati sisters, one or the other.
I was hoping Funk would show up to the wedding in his tidy whities again.
Oh, you look so beautiful. No, I can't get up.
No. I'll be with you in a couple hours.
I'll tell you, Blaustein was very charmed when he was filming this stuff. He happened to catch this big Funk wedding, you know, big extravaganza.
Oh, yeah.
He lucked out, yeah. He absolutely lucked out here.
A lot of good stuff going on.
He's got pretty daughters, obviously.
Let's not get crazy here.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they're, you know, divas, but they're not. They don't look like him, obviously.
Right.
They're a hard nine for Scott, but for Jordan and I, they're probably four or five.
Yeah.
I do like a lot of the imagery they use throughout this documentary, where you see like the softer side of these guys, and then he'll cut to this footage of them all like bloody and wrestling or on top of the world, and they cut back where they're kind of struggling, and I thought it was just well done, the editing.
Now that was another crazy bastard, Stan Hansen. It'd probably be a whole 2-hour movie on his own.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And this is equally as sad. Now where he's saying basically you have no joints left in your knees at all, and you shouldn't even be able to walk around now, and you are. So, kind of crazy.
Well, I'm booked in a ladder match tonight. I'll see you later.
And Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's is the doctor here, filling him in.
I'm about to say
Bernie Lomax.
Folks look at him like he's going to take like the fucking stethoscope and choke him with it.
Well, there's that calendar says 1997 there.
Okay, so that's giving us an idea where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, well, it definitely was because we go towards the Funk retirement show, which was, I think, fall of 97.
Yeah, the match with Brett.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's totally zoned out, Homer Simpson style right there. He's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. By the way, also going on right now that we're missing is the return of Dallas, the XFL storyline.
Oh, that's right, yes. It's going that started on right tonight, now. Didn't it? Yes. Yep. Yes.
Did you know about that, Jordan?
What's that?
Yeah, I did.
The Dallas reboot with the XFL?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a Detroit team. Were you bummed, Jordan, that there was no Detroit XFL team?
No.
Well, they basically had one for a while. It was the Detroit Lions.
Right. I think I'd rather many years.
Yes. I think I'd rather watch Funk in his underwear than see that Roland guy anymore in this movie.
Oh, well, don't worry. There'll be more Roland.
Oh, yeah. Keep Roland, Roland, Roland.
Who the hell's that guy?
He's Funk's escort for this show.
Oh, that's awesome. It's like that guy we saw at that show. What's his name?
Hey, Kid and Play. Glad to see you got some work.
Oh, God. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good, thanks. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Now, mind you, Funk had just won the... Depending what time of year this is, Funk had just won the ECW World title at their first pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Barely Legal, which was in April, so it depends what time of year this is.
I think this is... I want to say it's like September or so.
Lots of single men in there.
I'm guessing they still are, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is, of course, pretty much ECW at its zenith, you know, when they were at their best.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, wow, I had totally forgotten about this entire part.
I love it. I love how they're filming it right in his fucking basement. Parents, it's not even his basement, it's parents' basement. That's what makes it even better.
Yep.
September 97 was the 50 years of Funk show.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So. Five. Here's our fifth.
Love it. Joey Styles always used to pretend he was up high in the arena, and right across from him, Heyman's leaning on the ironing board that his mom's ironing on. Is that Bubba Ray working the merch table?
That was Bubba Ray working the merch table, indeed.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, there's Cronus, one half of the Eliminators.
I miss scuzzy-looking Heyman, you know? He's all refined-looking now. I miss the 5 o'clock shadow and the skullet with the hat and the droopy clothes.
Yes. What's funny is, even if he shaved, he doesn't even look like he's aged. Really.
No, that's because he looked like he was 50 back then, when he was only like in his late 20s.
Oh, well, here we go. They're talking about Barely Legal right now. Yep.
Oh, okay.
And as a little hint, Scott and I, this is on our upcoming list in the next few weeks for the weekly Vintage Vault episodes here. We'll be talking this show.
Yep. There's Todd Gordon. no clue what he was doing.
I thought that was Tony Kornheiser for a minute. This is one of the better speeches I've honestly really heard, is motivational-wise. I mean, I get all jacked up just listening to it, fired up. I can imagine those guys were. Again, I apologize for my voice. It sounds like I'm trying to do a poor Terry Funk impersonation. I don't know what happened.
Well, that's okay.
Is that a fanny pack
Triple
on Saturn?
H BCW, the franchise Shane Douglas.
I think I saw a fanny pack on Saturn.
The JT Smith?
Yes, it was. Yep.
Yep.
Yes. Louie.
Everything all right out there? This is a little creepy, by the way. Heyman massaging Francine.
I was like, please, please let me stick my tongue down your throat, Francine.
I'm sure it happened.
Now, Funk, just to give everyone a little background here, Funk was in a triple threat match with Stevie Richards and... I can't think of
who
Raven. The guy was. And the winner...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sandman.
No, the winner...
Sandman.
Yeah, the winner would face Raven. Yeah, it was Sandman. And the winner would face Raven at the end of the night for the ECW title. Yep, there he is.
Yep.
So I'm curious then, maybe the wedding was around this time because he, you know, they were kind of hinting towards retirement, but now they're kind of going back in time. So I wonder if that was right around this period.
I think so. I think it was.
I mean, this is good exposure for ECW at the time, too. I mean, I know they were kind of hitting their peak, but around 2000, you know, watching this, if you hadn't really seen it, I think that's J.R. Sino D'Amato back there sitting next to Bill Alfonso. I can't wait till he goes off furiously looking through this to see which guy we said was him.
Oh, there's Axel Rotten.
I keep thinking that's Linda when they show Funk's wife.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah, this is the show right where the Transformer blew out.
Yeah.
As soon as the show ended, right?
With like 30 seconds left window, they went off the air.
Yeah. Cool, man. You know, a very similar ending to what that clip we saw earlier when he won his NWA title with the bloody face yelling to the crowd and everything. You know, I mean, as disturbing as it was to see him put himself through some of this, I mean, it was a hell of a moment, I think, and it kind of solidified ECW. I think it was a smart move having them put the title on him at this show. Oh, that's pretty. Funk just coughing blood up, then he fucking downs it with a beer.
I'm gonna put a little Vaseline on my cuts. Tommy looks like he's a mess.
He's looked like he's been a mess since 1993.
Yeah.
I like that big ass hole in the wall over there.
If it wasn't for Roland, Paul's giant jowl would be
yeah, I know.
Pretty impressive, but
it's tame because after what we've witnessed already tonight.
As it is, it's just a grim reminder of things to come.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, oh, I forgot about... I don't think that's going to help your dehydration, Mr. Funk. Chugging a Coors Light.
Mr. Funk.
Ah, here we go. Enter Mick Foley and his ECW promos. Stuff of legend.
Top notch, man. Top notch. This is when I actually first started watching ECW in the summer and fall of 95 when Mick was there and just cutting these crazy awesome promos.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't see those for a long time. I remember the first time I saw this, the hardcore stuff, was roommate Adam bought it off online, like 2000, probably right around this time. He ordered the DVD and we watched it. Actually, you know, it might not even been the actual tournament. It would have been the Stranglemania tape, I think. The ICP one where they did the commentary over it.
Oh, right.
There's six. There's another fanny pack.
Oh.
I feel like that's all I'm contributing, but it's a really important thing to do. So.
No, you're contributing slightly more than that. So here we go now to Royal Rumble 99, and of course, this is when Mick was really starting to break out as a major name throughout 99.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't know that match. Mick is the most normal.
Yeah. I mean, that is really pretty much his, one of his main themes of this whole thing is how Foley's kind of whacked, but kind of the most down-to-earth one, and I guess it's still I know, I mean, at this time, you know, Foley had really pretty much just retired right around when this came out, so
that's right.
Well, was retired the first way
WrestleMania 16.
Yep. There we go, Jack Foley. Sounds like me when I was like 11. Can I wrestle downstairs? No. And we didn't anyway. And then we had to take a short break when I Irish whipped my cousin into the pool table and he came up with a big ass egg over his eye. I put it into wrestling in the basement for a while. So Foley now trying to convince his dad, who is very stodgy looking.
Was that a Dewey sighting then?
I think it was. I think it was Dewey and Noel.
He looks like a gym coach,
yes,
or a gym teacher, or whatever he was.
Yes, right.
There's a Sandusky joke in there somewhere, but we'll let it go.
Yes.
I like the sixth grade school picture background.
The only thing would have been better is if we had the picture of Foley looking up towards the sky in the background.
Yeah,
Rob Schneider checking in.
Yes.
This is great here, of course. The original Dude Love footage of Foley diving off his roof. JR never sounds upbeat in any of these things. He seems very subdued.
Mm.
Oh, another Meltzer sighting. We should count his mullet twice because it's so glorious.
It's not as bad here as it was like in the earlier part of the decade. In the early part of the decade, his mullet was redonkulous.
Yeah, it was.
The best part is Meltzer's the only guy who demanded to be interviewed in a ring, if you noticed.
Yes.
You want to interview me? You've got to be in the ring.
I was surprised he didn't say, would you like me to take my shirt off?
Yeah, I know.
Right? My pecs.
Here we go to Long Island. Oh, my Lord, Mick. You know, you're on camera. You got a fairly attractive wife. Do you have to walk around with a fucking blouse and short red tight shorts on?
A blouse?
A flowing blouse. That's what it was. You had a flowing blouse on.
like a female, like a women's house coat.
Oh, my Lord. Have a little self-respect. Oh, there we go. At least he's rocking the flannel now.
There you go. Beautiful wife, good-looking kids, and that.
It's amazing.
Thank God the kids got the wife's genes.
I think it was around this time when Vince called her Robin Givens, wasn't it? He got all pissed off. She got all pissed off, or Foley did.
Yeah. How old do you think his kids are now? I mean, how old would the oldest be?
Oh, he's got to be in his mid-teens at least, right?
I think he's almost out of high school. They were on the celebrity wife swap. Like about a year ago.
Oh. Did you watch
Dewey's
it?
Dewey's out of high school.
Yeah,
I did.
He's got him. I mean, he's probably what, like 7 here, right? 6-7 here.
Yeah.
He might even be in college.
I don't know if he's out of high school, bro.
I think he is. I think he's about 19.
I wonder if they've ever thought about getting in the business.
Probably not.
I'm sure the mom put the kibosh on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mick, that is a sweet American flag.
That's a Lex Luger vintage.
Yes. He found it on the Let's Express and gave it to her as a wedding gift. Here's your wedding gift, Mrs. Foley.
There's the blouse, the boxer shorts.
This looks like a cross-dresser.
This is awful. I think this is one of the more understated parts of this whole movie is Mick Foley's wardrobe. I think this needs to be examined further. Yes. Here we go. Hell in a Cell. This is a poignant part, too, where Blaustein talks about this message that Foley left him right here. And Foley didn't even remember leaving it, and it's all kind of rambling and incoherent.
For the younger listeners, that is an answering machine.
Yes, it is. With two mini tapes. Reminds me of the episode of Seinfeld where George left a message for the girlfriend, and he had to go switch the tape. God, you would think this was like... So much has changed since 1998. You know, it's like, it's amazing.
I know. No one would do that now. There's not one guy in any roster anywhere in the world that would attempt that now. No,
no, definitely not. I don't think there's anyone in the world besides maybe a LaRue that would have an answering machine either.
Yes, that's true, too.
But the funny thing is the wrestling culture doesn't change. You know they all still rock the fanny packs. You know they all still dress yes. terribly like that.
They do.
Like, they don't change.
Foley had took it to another level, though. He was way out there.
Oh, yeah.
You think Foley's just cringing because his wife here thinks that this wasn't set up ahead of time? Even though it had to be. And Foley's just like, yeah, I can't believe that happened either. Like, he's not going to admit to doing something stupid like that. This where Taker busts his foot.
So Taker busts his foot. Mick's friggin' liver is like glue right now, and it's and you got like
Terry Funk with the rare sweatpants tucked into white socks with white sneakers outfit on.
Does he even? I think he even has a fanny pack on when he comes into the ring.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah, the Advil in there. We should have had a sweatpants count. We got green, blue, all the different colors we see. Yeah. I don't know. We should be actually tracking our favorite outfit, and then we can vote at the end. I think the American flag Lex Luger jumpsuit by Mrs. Foley may still be my favorite. The worst part of that fall was the chair hitting him in the mouth on the way down, not even this him hitting the mat.
That
was the thing, yeah. Yep.
All right, so now this has to be around Christmas 98 because they had the tree in the background. All right, we're going to pause here if everyone wants to hit pause. We got the DiGiorno truck moving by. So if everyone wants to hit pause on their TV at home, grab a little drink or popcorn while this commercial break plays because...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Beck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Yes, WrestleChat.net, indeed. Your home for everything in pro wrestling. All the news and notes you need from WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor. They have a great message board. Check out their podcast, The Champ, Jeff Beck, and his announcer. And of course, while you're perusing the site, you look to the right, you see the PTB Gnome, proudly worn by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, and you'll go to our full archive, courtesy of our good friends at Podbean. That is WrestleChat.net, indeed where it's at. Also, don't forget the history of WWE.com, our friend Grant Cawthon. Outstanding research site, ring results, DVD reviews, everything you need is there. Also, check out our show on Stitcher.com. If you have iPhone, Android, any kind of phone or any kind of player, tablet, go to it. You can listen to our shows anytime. And then, of course, also on iTunes. And, of course, check out our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. We're always talking wrestling, sports, anything you want. Check out JR's and my reviews. We talk Raw, SmackDown, all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to help out our friend Jay Womack. Still dealing with a lot of physical issues with his leg and a touch of skin cancer, but he's a fighter, and he's a great fan of the show. And if you want to help him, check the link on our board, bigelow34.proboards.com, and you can help him out. He's a great guy.
Hey, Place to Be Nation, this is Gary Michael Capetta, and this is the Place to Be Podcast with Scott Riscola and Justin Rosero.
And of course, you are listening to the one and only Place to Be Podcast along with Scott Riscola. I am Justin Rosero. And of course, with us is the man rocking the gnome shirt, and that is Jordan Duncan. We hope you're enjoying this trip through Beyond the Mat thus far, about halfway through the movie now. I mean, a little short halfway through the movie. And any thoughts so far before we pick things back up?
I always wonder, you know, what we're seeing right now. Terry Funk was definitely, you know, there's a lot of guys that wrestle that long because they're broke or because they, I mean, we're going to get to a huge example of it a little bit later on. Funk didn't look like he was broke or like he was struggling. I think he just loved to wrestle, you know, and I think that's one thing Blaustein is trying to put and using Funk as an example, because most of these guys wrestle that old because they're broke or they're just, you know, destitute or living under a park bench or something.
Right.
Funk didn't seem to be like that. He seemed to be still living a decent life and just loved to wrestle. You know, it's very weird. Very different.
Mm-hmm. You know, for me, I think what sticks out that I was thinking at the beginning is I mentioned that I went and saw this movie in the theaters. You know, an independent documentary got released in theaters about pro wrestling in 1999, 2000, whenever it was.
Mind-blowing.
That wouldn't see the light of day now, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah, it was just the perfect time, because I think even like 3 years earlier, it probably doesn't make theaters. I mean, it just happened to be... you know, just such a the right time. I mean, this guy, very similar to another movie we're going to review at some point, Wrestling with Shadows. Just right place, right time. So, all right, if everyone wants to pick their remote back up, the DiGiorno truck is awaiting its way to make its way down the highway. So I will count us in again. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right, three, two, one. Here we go. Here comes the call. Blaustein's been waiting for it. The whereabouts of Jake the Snake Roberts.
Jake the Snake.
Oh, nostalgic. Here, WrestleMania 6. Probably his... Do you think it's his best face promo?
Well, you and I definitely talked about when we did our WrestleMania 6 vault. This promo, you know, let's see if he hits the line at the end. Muck of avarice. This just was a great line.
Yeah.
Because when you were that young, you're like, what the hell does that mean? And that's what made it great, because right. You had no idea what the hell he meant.
Well, all I did know is that Longfellow could not have said it better, according to Mean Gene. And now we cut back to WrestleMania 3. This,
Jake had a fluff.
Yeah, he did have quite the mullet.
Fluffy mullet.
This to me is probably the most poignant part of this whole documentary is just the dissension of Jake the Snake, this guy who was just had it all and just, you know, could have been a megastar if he wasn't such a train wreck. I mean, he was a big star as it was, but God, to think of what he probably could have done, he'd still be probably in the business today in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
God, I
concur.
That John Wayne thing is pretty serious epidemic for JR, huh?
There's a pencil sharpener back there, too.
God, this is old school. George Wells!
George Wells.
George Wells. WrestleMania 2.
Two, right?
Yeah. I like the maroon Jake pants.
Yeah.
I do, too. He had a good cachet of tights, we'll have to say.
Mm. He did. He's up there.
Yeah.
I do find it interesting how they got Vince's comments on some of these guys, too, like going back, like the Coco thing. Like, who the fuck, 1998, we thought Vince would be explaining why he fired Coco, beware, you know? It's just kind of weird. And even, like, this Jake stuff here. And this Jake's puffing away on a Marlboro. Fucked up. You know, if you're not watching it, the promoter basically just said Jake held them up and said, "If you don't give us, don't give me crack, I'm not showing enough of your indie show." I mean, I know he's a draw, but is he that big of a draw that people put up with his bullshit? I mean, I guess so. And this wasn't too long after he left WWF for his second run, because this was probably filmed late '97, early '98. And you know, he was in the.
Well, he was in 97. He was on. Was he on Mania 13? Was he in that tag?
No, that was 12. But then he was in the 97 Rumble. So I think he left like in the spring of 97. So it wasn't that long after. North Platte, Nebraska. Okay.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
It's yeah. Oh Lord, here we go.
I mimic this. Yeah. All we need is that. Where's Wesley?
This guy, no, Wesley. It looks high class compared to this family. Mr. DDT, what is that arrow supposed to be pointing to? Mr. DDT, my boobs. I don't get it.
My gelatinous gut. Oh my God! Look at that guy's nose.
What the fuck?
What the hell?
This is I'm not going to visit Nebraska. Ed Beckley. Holy shit. Roland Alexander looks like fucking Fabio compared to this guy.
Oh my God. Look at these fucking guys running these promotions. Good Lord. Wow, there's some ugly ass people in Nebraska. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, I don't think there's any of our PTB Nation members are in Nebraska, but whoa.
Look at that mustache.
Oh, I like
Kevin
this.
Sullivan?
What's he doing?
Pissing in a bucket?
Yeah, so why? First of all, why did he massage Greg Valentine's kidneys? And now he's pissing in a bucket and then giggling about it. Oh, you call me pissing. Hey, Coco with his fucking high energy tights.
Hey, midgets. Couldn't go the whole movie without seeing at least one fucking midget.
I think he was in the bucket when Jake was peeing.
Look how many people are there.
Well, the big turnoff for Jake and Coco, I guess. If Coco came to
Nebraska,
if Coco came, oh, as Jake passed out at the table. If Coco came to a gym near me, I'd go see him.
Right?
Yeah, I think I would too.
Oh my God, he's grotesque. A lot of guts in this movie. A lot of big guts.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Not much cardio. But everybody's got the same mullet. You guys still count the mullets? I think we've seen about 32 since the segment started.
Oh,
they
gave up a long time ago.
Nebraska alone has set its own record. I think somewhere a young Sheamus was watching this and saying, I can be this pale fella.
By the way, incidentally, listeners, who was that? Looks like luscious Johnny Valiant. Another nice mullet. Speaking of Jake Roberts, another show that we will be JR and I will be special vaulting down the line infamously awesome Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view, because God knows anybody could use a 2 hours to kill on that. From fluff mullet to no mullet.
Skullet.
Oh, there's Revelations.
Toss him on.
Right, was that Revelation?
Yeah, is that David Schultz?
No, I was thinking it's
Chris Adams helping him there.
I thought so. I was going to say that. I thought that was Chris Adams. Oh, Lord. Here she comes. Mrs. DDT.
Mr. DDT. No, the 12-year-old. The 12-year-old.
Yeah.
No. I think that's the daughter of Mrs. DDT. Yeah. She's getting the fucking girl die.
Hey, listen, little girl. These sweatpants are easy access, so whenever you're ready. Just don't cover me with your braces.
Around your neck.
Don't scratch me with your braces.
Oh, yeah. That's Chris Adams.
What the hell? Wow. This must have been right before he returned to WCW, because wasn't he there in the late 90s, early 2000s?
Yeah, he was on Thunder quite a bit when Thunder first came on.
That's right. He was a Thunder mainstay. Oh, here we go.
Oh, hey.
I think that was my Blog of Doom avatar for a while right there. I could be dictator mayor if I wanted to. I don't really want to, but if I did, I could definitely win. That is a sorry looking man right there.
Oh, no, that's just Jake. Okay.
The hell of a fucking trench coat, I know that.
All right, I'm going to go back to the bus station now and God.
It's so sad. I mean, it really is sad. Hey, you know, I talked about this on the message board as well the other day. It's like, as much as I enjoy going to the indie shows that Scott and I go to sometimes, to me, I do get depressed seeing some of these guys still out there doing their acts, you know, in their 50s. It's like, you know, they really want to do it, or they don't know any other way. It's fucked up.
I've always thought it was a little more sad that the guys in their 50s who never made it as anything that are still there, though.
Right, yes.
You know, at least Jake had some some fame to cling to.
Yes. Yep. Has Jake given us fucked up backstory?
Why Jake is? Yeah.
It's fine. I mean, he gets into a lot of this in his DVD as well. The WWF one. He had a fucked up. And this guy's a. You know, it just kind of flies under the radar what a douchebag this motherfucker was. Grizzly.
Grizzly? Yeah, he's an asshole.
Yeah, I mean, does this rock really need to be busted that badly? He's going to be out there in a suit.
We're going to chop up this rock.
I got to help him move these leaves so he can bust us a rock, and he's going to wear a suit while we do it.
If you listen, if you watch like the first like 25 minutes of Jake's WWE DVD, all he does is say that every single person in the family got molested.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much the story is. Yeah. Molested and drunk. Pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah, he's a piece of garbage.
Sam Houston part of his family?
Yep, and Rock and Robin. Is it? And this or the other
where
DVD?
Where are those leaves going?
They're going back into where he's throwing them from. They're blowing right back. Did is it this one or the Dodie DVD where he talks about how his sister was murdered by some guy and he never told him where the body? I think it's here. He says it. That's quite the vagina hole on Grizzly's forehead.
Yes, really.
Yeah, he was born because you raped his mother. You sick fuck. He looks like the old guy from Home Alone.
Oh, the guy, the old guy at the church.
Cut your fucking fingernails, you fucking grot.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is what he's saying about how his sister was kidnapped and murdered, and the guy said, fuck you, I'm not going to tell you where the body is. And then his stepfather got electrocuted in the attic, and all this fucking whack shit.
Crazy. Yeah.
I mean, this is another big score for Blaustein. I mean, this is, you know, to land a guy like this with this many problems and stories to tell.
Yeah, I mean, he got the perfect people for the movie.
Yeah, he definitely did. Definitely worked out well.
Yeah. He knew what he was doing. He definitely laid this out the way it needed to be.
But even just the timing on a lot of it was good. You know, he caught Jake right as he was descending back down after leaving WWF and kind of falling back into his drugs. And, of course, I mean, a lot of the time, you know, even the stuff we're reviewing now, 96 and 97, where he was claiming to be clean, of course, many guys have said, and it was all a bullshit story.
Mm-hmm.
Exit 496, that is a long-ass highway.
Yeah, it is.
Talking about those exploits.
Yeah, so he's talking about all of his on-the-road conquests, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he's very introspective, and he definitely, you know, opens up quite a bit, which adds a lot. Mm. There's not much to say. I feel bad making fun of this. There we go. Back in the van. Is this Mike Mata's van that is painting it? No, here we go. Now we're back into the big time. China.
That's probably at her peak.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Early 99. Right after her surgery.
Mm-hmm. Still kind of look like a woman. Kind of look like a dude. Big Mark.
Oh, Lord. Talk about breaking kayfabe. Go right back to her pre-surgery. Wow. Although, you know, this is this part of the movie is like you kind of see that she was kind of happy and normal and she just really got fucked up big time. You know, it's like she comes across as one of the most down to earth, normal people in this whole movie, I think.
Except she's shopping in that outfit. So.
Yes. Joe Paterno. Look at these men wearing bras with long hair now. Okay, that wasn't awkward. I like how we just keep flipping between footage of China with the huge jaw and with no. I'll tell you though, that plastic surgeon did a fucking hell of a job. He really
chin full and chinless.
Yeah, that was a hell of a facial reconstruction they pulled off. I don't know, I can't even fathom how you'd do that. No, there we go.
No, Spike.
Rhode Island's old Spike Dudley. This is right when he was kind of breaking out as well, because it's almost like introducing him here.
Mm-hmm.
He's a teacher wrestling in his side job. I don't think he wrestles anymore, right? I think he pretty much wrapped it up.
Yeah, I think he did too. He had a good run though. What was it, 2005, when he was the cruiserweight champion, and he had the little goat the goat beard there with the. Mm-hmm. That was a
like
good
the
run.
General.
He had.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. The little general.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a good role. Good role for him. And he was really good too, right when he first came in with the whole Molly stuff and all that. He was really over. I remember that one Raw where he debuted. The tag title switched twice. It was Rhino debuted and then he debuted.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was the other way around. And then they all interfered at WrestleMania. Back to Coco. Thinking about Grandpa's Steakhouse.
Grandpa's Steakhouse.
Oh, that's poor.
Frankie gets his own bed. Okay.
It's before poor Frankie bit the dust. Yeah, I love the spotlight.
Right, more American pants to go along with Foley's shirt or whatever.
More Lex Luger pants. God, I remember this whole thing. It was so crazy. Thinking of Jesse becoming... I mean, right when he became governor, they were already talking about maybe him going for president. It was like such a crazy time.
It was crazy. I mean, it was nuts. I remember being up late. I was on the air, the radio station I was working at, and I can't believe this guy actually just won. I mean, it was crazy.
Jordan, you're about closer geographically. Was he a good governor? Did they like him up there? Do you know?
Oh, I'm not sure, man. I don't know that.
The hell good are you?
And then he became a complete lunatic.
Yeah.
Is this Terry Tyrell, Jaden Jeremiah that we're seeing footage of?
Yes, that's right. There's the yearly hellos. The yearly WrestleMania hellos.
Oh, he's rocking the stogie. This is before he became a complete whacked out wingnut.
He's an absolute crazy lunatic now.
Yeah, Jesus. This is like when we first saw Vince without a shirt for the first time, and it was like, what the fuck?
Right.
No.
Blaustein talking about Vince becoming the biggest star of his promotion, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Vince, for somebody who's a millionaire, couldn't your shirt suit jackets fit?
Those sleeves.
Yeah, what the hell?
God. The fucking shirts, the shirt sleeves like go over his...
I mean, well, at the end of the day, you still gotta give him credit. He goes out there and takes a shit kicking, gets his ass beat.
Well, how old would he have been here back in, what, 98, 99? I mean...
Yeah, 48, 50, right? Is he 60-something now?
Yeah, something like that, right?
Speaking of a crazy fucking lunatic, this guy should be in prison.
Right.
Well, yeah, but this is great, too, because when he goes on the movie tryout here in a few minutes.
Yes.
This is before he started sexting pictures of Terry around. I mean, would you want to wrestle this guy? Like, I don't know. I would have told Damon, all set, thanks.
No.
I'll go work Smoky Mountain. I'm all set. Oh, there you go, fighting draws. So this must have been, I mean, is this before draws got called up? Was he working ECW, I guess, kind of training?
I guess so. So this would probably be...
Early 98.
Yeah.
Which it's not very smart planning. They want to teach a guy to work, so they have him wrestle New Jack a few times.
Yeah, there you go. Learn some moves. Go fight New Jack. Ah, back to the answer machine. Is that the same one as before? Oh, yeah, it is. It's Blaustein's office. So. AT&T has come a long way to the iPhone from that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Cell phones back then weighed like 25 pounds. Big flips and...
Blaustein kind of looks like Tom Berenger. It takes some kind of special for two dudes to ride on the back of a convertible like that.
Yeah.
What do you think these people thought of when this guy came in to read for this fucking part of this movie? It's like, is this a joke? They probably were looking around to see if they were getting punked. Was punk on back then, or was that later?
No, I don't think that was out yet.
Yeah, it was later, because, you know, he... You're talking about punked, right?
Yeah.
Well, Ashton Kutcher, this was only like this when this show was out, it was only like the second season of That 70s Show, so he was barely like a blip on the radar at that point.
There's a lot of potential in New Jack. He's like Denzel's
friend. You know
he's
still in the room. That's why she's saying that. He's standing right behind the camera.
I'm expecting Stephanie Wyand to walk through the door to give away a house now. These two.
New Jack's the only one who's been like decently dressed in this whole fucking production so far.
Right. No, yeah.
Oh, we're back to the funk retirement banquet here.
Is that Pitbull number one?
Is that a Pitbull back there?
I guess so. I thought it was Taz at first, but no, you're right. It's Pitbull. Mm-hmm.
New Jack at the NBA draft. All right.
this is quite the banquet.
He's waiting to put a Charlotte Hornets hat on.
Stop confusing me with Funk's wife and Linda.
Incidentally, Jordan, this was during the dark years of the Pistons.
Yeah, I think I'd say now's the dark years.
Yeah. Well, Charlie Villanueva just got cut from the Dominican Republic basketball team. Too fast.
That's gonna be a low point right there.
Yeah.
Right.
I feel bad for my fellow alopecia sufferer.
I do not.
Hey, it's gonna be in the Tri-State Fairgrounds.
Oh boy, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
I recognize those sweatpants and that fanny pack anywhere.
50 years. September 11th. How creepy is
that?
Oh, there
we go. Huh? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This guy's camping out already. You know what it is. It's time for the King of the Cockroaches.
It's time to reach the high point of this show. The guy we were waiting for. The main event. The main icon.
Here he comes with his bucket of fucking Play-Doh, whatever the hell he's got.
His bucket of fucking cockroach killer.
I always carry this bucket of cock around. He's like, hang on, you're going to interview me? Let me put this tight pink polo on. I'm not booked.
I'm not booked.
Was he just happen to be hanging around? Where did they dig him up from? You think he just watches this and is just like so fucking embarrassed? Like,
no,
God, I'm
not
such
even
a bitch.
Chance. He's just angry that he wasn't in it more.
No one would have a better match.
Really? Did this idiot really just say that no one could have a better match with Dory Funk than he could?
Yes.
Seriously.
Well, it's true. I mean, he's a legend.
You know, JR, I have to disagree with you. I don't know if that's completely pink. I think that's more like rose.
Yes. Mauve.
Mauve, yes. It's rosé. It's blush.
Fucking. Oh, God, Dennis Stamp. You poor bastard.
Oh, my God.
There's some swank cowboy boots.
Are those like the Ultimate Warriors boots from the WrestleMania 6 contract?
Just, they've been detasseled.
Yes.
You think these ECW guys weren't used to flying on a plane? Used to being crammed in a fucking van?
Tap out shirts before they were...
Here we go! Here's the trampoline!
Here we go. Here
he
goes! He just jumps. That's all he does. He jumps with barbells.
He jumps. There he is.
So 91, now we're into 97, so, you know.
It was 91, that means it was 86.
Still gonna wait for that phone to ring, though. You never know when some guy may call me. Say, hey, you know what, I know you haven't wrestled in 6 years, but I know you've been, I've been watching over your fence doing these trampoline moves. I can see you're in shape. I love, too, the awkward, That's a classic move right there. You just bring up something you don't want to talk about. I'm not going to be there tonight. Why not? I don't want to talk about it.
Not involved.
Not booked. Not involved.
Come on, riff my match, Dennis.
I don't care that you're a legend. You've been booking the show by yourself and you have a million things going on. Your daughter just got married. Why didn't you call me a month ago and ask me to be on the show?
I could have catered, damn it. I could have been the DJ.
I could have sprayed exterminator fluid around the fucking building to make sure there was no cockroaches.
I brought my bucket.
And set it on fire.
I got Jesse Katsopoulos in the back in the van with me, ready to do some cockroaching. I just wanted them to start making out right here. He's like, I did ask you.
I did ask you. Well, I'm sorry, Dennis, but I can't do it with the rosé shirt on. Oh, God.
I definitely made Dennis stamp in one of the video games around this time. The fucking pink shirt and the jeans.
Jordan, while we're on this part of the conversation, I have to ask you. We JR and I talked about this a few podcasts ago. What do you think Dennis's other arrangements were?
I have no trampoline wrestling. I don't know.
He was training the Hardys in the Trampoline Federation.
Maybe learning his first trick.
Yes. No, he doesn't do tricks.
We thought he was an Aunt Petunia's birthday at the Sizzler. That's what we thought it
was. He goes Funk Stumble. Love it. Oh. Is he going back to his home in the dumpster? Is that where he's going?
God damn you, Dennis. I swear to God, Dennis.
I've about had all I've had to see of Marty Funk. Not as good as Marty Funkhauser.
Yes.
Oh, he's back. All right, so he was going somewhere because he says it cost $134 to change his ticket. So he was pulling the Jim Halpert. He was going on vacation instead of seeing Dennis. Pam get married.
Oh, Dennis, you're the best, Dennis. Oh, God, this is great. Oh, you're the best, Dennis.
Just so you know how bad this guy's career was, that the main event of some low-class indie show in front of 100 people is like the highlight of his career.
Oh, is that one of the Samoan squat team guys?
I don't know. No. That guy was a little bit smaller.
He looked like it.
You think so?
Yeah, it could have been. Hunters, right?
Yeah, I guess it could have been.
It was one of the squat team guys I'd look like anyway. Yeah, they were in ECW in 97, right?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't Samoan. They were just a squat team. I keep forgetting. I always add Samoan.
No, they're Puerto Rican, I think. Yeah.
Oh, just make up my blood pressure. Just make. There it is.
There it is.
You're not gonna wear the. Yep. You're not gonna wear the rosé shirt. Come on, Dennis.
That's Balls Mahoney back there. So Mankind versus Sabu, huh? It's an interesting match.
Wow, there we go. That was weird. He was like Cactus Kind.
Yeah.
It's like. Oh, there he is.
Just make sure. I had this show on tape. Rats.
You had the whole show on tape.
Mm-hmm. I did.
Was it good?
Yeah, a lot of matches. A lot of WWF guys came in. I mean, obviously Brett, of course, but yeah, it was pretty decent. It was not great, but it was good.
Was the Brett Funk match any good? The main event?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I wouldn't go out of my way to track it down, but
how was us
to watch if you're?
How was Stamp as a referee? Was he unforgettable?
Yes.
I wonder if Jay Womet has the show. I'll have to check it out. See if he's got it. A lot of bro hugs going on in this section of the movie. Yes.
Look at Stamp soaking it in.
Oh, it's a main event. He'd rather be in this than breathe. I mean, hell, he gave up a $134 ticket for this.
Before they announced him as the ref, they'd only sold 4 tickets to this show. So.
Yes.
It's a nice belt.
It looks like a decent crowd.
Looks like a nice belt. I'm sure Paul didn't have to pay 7 guys to fucking buy it, but it's a nice
belt. The worst part is he was out of retirement literally like 3 months later because he shows up on Raw in December. So Brett, all right, so he was not champion at this time then. He had just come off the SummerSlam loss not that long before this. Oh, I lied. He won at SummerSlam, so he was champion here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was September, so he was actually still with 2 of the greatest superstars in the history of the business are in the ring at the same time.
Yeah,
Bret
I mean...
Hart and Dennis Stamp. Yes. And some other fat old guys there, too. Oh, Dennis, you sucked at your job.
Dennis, you ruined everything.
God, you suck. Go back to killing rats.
Can't even do that right. Look at all the infestation around Amarillo. this is like a
t-shirt that had stamp space on it.
This is like a precursor to Montreal. Stamp screws Funk over with that count on the bridge.
It was just a couple months later, so.
Yeah, he's like, that's what you get for leaving me off and making me cost all that money to change my plans and arrangements.
Yes. I missed Aunt Petunia's barbecue at the Sizzler, damn you.
As far as Funk didn't bleed in this match. Or is he bleeding? Oh, he did.
No, he did. No, he's
yeah. Oh, yeah, he's dripping on the mic.
Oh, I thought that was sweat. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. It seemed like it would have been a good way to go out. Too bad he was through it all right 3 months later. I feel like we haven't heard from him in a while, though. Is he still wrestling? I mean, the last time I feel like he popped up anywhere was when he went to the Hall of Fame.
Who's that, Funk?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think you don't hear much about him anymore.
His knees must be a fucking wreck right now. What is he, in his late 60s at this point? Yeah. He's probably in his 80s.
I don't know if he's that old.
Jesus.
He's up there, though.
Thank you. I'm going to go walk alone.
I look forward to be on the mat to the sequel.
I'm going to have a rematch. I'm going to get back at Dennis Stamp for screwing me. You
notice
bitch.
They did a little fade as he gets across the room because it took 4 hours for him to cross yes. that 5 inches.
Al, this is the Star Wrestling. Oh, here we go. Back to Mr. DDT. Chris Adams again. Are these fucking guys are torn together or what?
Meanwhile, the guy in better shape is dead.
Yes. Well, in fairness, he was shot. I mean, he was still pretty healthy.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, here we go. Jake's daughter.
Just did a Google search of Terry Funk. Looks like he had a match as recently as 2011 against Jerry Lawler.
Oh, wow. Actually, yeah, I remember hearing about that. No, they mentioned it.
Mm-hmm. No holds barred.
Wow.
Was Andre the Giant involved?
I was there, yeah.
All right, we got some good Jake moments coming up here. We got the chocolate, we got the ducks quacking, and we have his disturbing daughter. Mm-hmm. Oh, there she is. She says how she puts a quote from Sylvia Plath, "Fuck your daddy," in there, and I got into a huge fight with my roommate defending that was a legitimate quote from one of her poems. And his argument was that wrestling is fake, so they could have easily made it up, but I argued it's a documentary. Why would they make it up? I don't know if I was ever proven right or wrong, but fuck you, daddy.
He gone straight.
I'm going to sit my daughter down and watch the scene and be like, this will never happen.
Why is the whole book just caked in dirt?
That's what happens when you're the daughter of Mr. DDT.
Yes.
You should look this girl up, Jordan, see what happened to her. Jake Roberts' daughter.
I will attempt it.
Or just go for McDonald's for dinner tomorrow night. Price you're working. I said, fuck you, daddy. I don't care that you beat George Wells at WrestleMania 2.
Yes.
Also, I remember it was WrestleMania 4 when you got double disqualified with Rick Rude. I was very disappointed, daddy.
Yes. God knows what you and Rude were doing that night in the bar.
So she blows him off. He goes into his crack. Oh, guess what I spot on his shoulder? I see the chocolate.
Yes. Those are shit.
Here it comes. I don't know, man. She's been acting kind of funky.
Oh, funky.
Oh, man.
He's like, I just want this fucking call to end right now. Daddy, next time I come to Buffalo, please don't call me. I'm going to a Bills game tomorrow.
I'm going to bungee. Here comes the chocolate. Of all the faithful moments that Barry Blaustein caught on camera, to me that is the best. Oh, here she is. She comes rolling in with her thermos. I think we're really... I like Jake's pink scrunchie.
Yes. You know, like he says, you know what I got for you, honey? I got you some chocolate. Here. In a minute, it might go for you.
I got you the scrunchie for your hair.
I know. What the fuck?
You could have got like a blue one or something.
Honey, I'd like you to meet your new stepmom, Mrs. DDT.
She's 5 years younger than you.
Yeah. How does a grown man get away with walking around with a pink scrunchie on?
To me, this is definitely one of the saddest parts when he's like, when I returned a few hours later, Jake was doing crack in his hotel room. Wait, you can't even keep his hotel room nice. Or is this his house?
Oh, this is an apartment, I think.
Oh, this is her apartment. Clean up.
Oh, yeah. That's her.
The fucking guy's coming in with a camera.
Still got
her
Christmas lights on. Nice decoration with the Christmas lights.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
It wasn't me. I think we make each other nervous. Oh, I just want to watch the Bills game, Daddy. Let's do a line of crack together. I got this guy, and his name's Dennis Stamp. He's got some good shit.
Carries it around in a small bucket.
Yes. You have a snort mosquito killer. You know this is produced by Ron Howard?
Really?
Yeah. The budget was only $500,000. Box office brought in $2 million. Not bad.
Well.
I like how he throws Vince under the bus. Our family's ruined because of Vince.
Yeah, everything's Vince's fault. Vince made him get into wrestling and become a drug addict. Ridiculous. So why is it Vince's fault? Sylvia Plath told me it's your fault, Daddy. Fuck you.
Daddy. I'm going to have to add that to the list of audio files now.
Fuck you, Daddy.
Fuck you, Daddy.
I remember the time you stole the $1 million belt. That was a nice Daddy. I much preferred your coal miner's glove match with Sting. Daddy, it wasn't fair when you tried to shave Conan's head in Mexico. That's why you're bald. Why did you no-show International Incident, Daddy? I wanted to see you face Mankind. Said we had to watch Henry Godwin.
Daddy, you gotta quit that match with Steve Austin, Daddy. He would have been spitting up blood.
Daddy.
But thanks for the chocolate.
Daddy, how come you submitted to that lame leg bar from British Bulldog at Good Friends, Better Enemies?
Leg bar.
Daddy, remember when you were managing the Barbarian and Cactus Jack in WCW and you just walked out? Can you explain to me why you did that? I like we're combining this emotional, well, I guess I am, not we. This emotional moment between Jake and his daughter making it into a fucking RF video shoot interview.
Yes.
Daddy, tell me about your match with Banyos Brown in SummerSlam 90. I put a lot of money on you in that match, Daddy, and you lost all the money for me. So fuck you, Daddy.
Daddy, people in my class want to know what avarice meant. Why did you say avarice?
And why are you wallowing in the muck of it? I don't know if they've seen it.
I mean, obviously, by the end of this year, he was still a fucking mess, but... I mean, it was what, you know, the 6 years when that DVD was made, I guess?
Yeah. What are the odds that Jake only agreed to do this so he could get a free ride across across multiple states? Here he is doing crack through the blinds.
Jeez.
You know, Blaustein, by the way, He should have gotten tossed in jail for this, abetting this fucking drug addict. He's like filming him doing crack. Mm.
Well, thank God they didn't show it because, I mean, I guess couldn't that be like, I don't know, evidence of him getting arrested or something?
I don't know. It's odd. Fuck you, Danny. You didn't share crack with me. And I had to get it from Dennis Stamp's bucket instead.
How come you don't have any rosé shirts, Danny? Everything's black and brown.
Danny, how come you choked out George Wells with your snake at WrestleMania 2?
George Wells. So he hasn't been on camera. You and I talked about this the other day. Has it been since he was on with Orton before that WrestleMania?
I think so. I mean, then he had a little one shot in TNA, I think, later in the decade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think that's it.
I'm sure he'll be inducted into the hall at some point.
I don't know. I guess maybe if they completely run out.
Jake's even cutting promos while he's on crack in a hotel room.
I know. He's still better than half the guys today.
And they're better than, I mean.
Let's just make this a segment. They're going to have a lot of time with these three-hour Raws. You just make him just a segment of him cutting promos while high on crack, talking about his daughter.
Lying in a hotel room bed.
I like how they play this fucking frumpy, dumpy music for Foley whenever he's on. Like a fucking
those awesome sweatpants.
The happy clown. What is it with sweatpants tucked into socks? Is that like a Foley funk friendship thing? It's like, dude, you already have the worst body ever. Just hide it up with something else. Put your blouse back on.
Look, JR, they took your bag of figures.
Is that a Chris Benoit one? It looked like it. You think it'd be fun to be McFoley's kid? Would it be scary?
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be fun to be his son.
Yes. I want to see more American flag sweatpants.
Right.
And of course, this is we're now back with the Foley family. This is the weekend of Rumble 99. And they're in Anaheim. Of course, Foley was planning on taking the kids to Disneyland after the Rumble.
I'm just counting this as one continuous fanny pack, by the way.
Okay.
When we see him.
Yeah.
Well, what are we up to? What's the count so far?
We're at seven, counting. Okay. He's been seen about seven times with one himself, though.
Yes. I'm seeing the build to him and Rock at the I Quit, and we get a lot of backstage stuff, them planning the match. Of course, this would be the infamous chair shot barrage.
Oh yeah,
we see that.
It's another thing where Blaustein just head. Yeah, another time where Blaustein just got so much luck. I mean, his family's right there, and he got it all. Their reaction is what makes this part so awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. Honestly, I just like I said, this is very comparable to Wrestling with Shadows, where it's just right place, right time, and turned out to be a gem. God, Rock was so pudgy, huh?
Yeah, he's drinking a Diet Coke. Yeah, he knew it.
He learned from Roland Alexander's nutrition class when he was backstage.
I think Foley wrote in his book that mask was the smelliest thing in the world.
Yeah, he did mention that a few times.
Right, I mean, he just never washed it. It's just like coated in sweat.
Some guy holding up an Al Snow head thing around a bunch of 12-year-old kids.
Well, these guys. That man, no. These poor kids have no idea what they're in for right now.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Yeah. Fucking Shane always slips into these scenes everywhere. He's in this movie like 10 times, but he never speaks.
Rock's got apparently three pairs of jeans back there.
I guess so.
Never know how many you need.
Are we in the Gap or are we in the Rock's locker room? Where are we? He
Nothing as classic as Jeff Jarrett's "Don't Piss Me Off" shirt in the background there.
Yes.
And then, of course, when they made the figure, they had to tame it down, so it was "Don't Make Me Mad."
Yeah. Oh, is that really what it says? That's horrible.
Yeah. I'm going to murder your dad with a chair, but we're going to have a good time tonight.
Your dad's not going to remember any of this.
So don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it either, because he's not going to hear. He won't remember anything.
See Steve in the background?
Sergeant Slaughter's walking.
Hey, how you doing?
Already. I think he's doing it. I think he's doing it just to get on camera.
Are these the midgets that are here to play basketball? My daughter's out there, too. I got to work in the fucking merch stand. Let's go. Get these kids to work.
Guys, I got an idea. Let's go play some basketball with a bunch of midgets.
Yeah, I already got my fucking jersey on. It must be so surreal to be like backstage before one of these shows. Steve Austin just walks by and says hi.
I see. We see Pat walking by smoking a cigarette. We don't know what he was doing before that, but...
smoking something.
Giant Silva, Gergen.
Kurgan. I prefer Gergen now, though.
It's Stephanie.
Yeah, working the gorilla position.
We're going to call him Gergen from now on.
Gergen.
Stephanie.
Come on, Cole. Not all right. This is his first big pay-per-view. I think he did Rock Bottom, too, right? But Rumble is his first major one.
Yeah.
Or no, maybe JR did do Rock Bottom. Was it right after Rock Bottom he had the Bell's Palsy? I forget.
Oh, no. I think Cole was at Rock Bottom. I think it was after Survivor Series. Is that Ed Ferrara?
Yes.
Fucking dick.
Oklahoma. I don't even say it. The guy's cleaning in the background. No, I mean, unprecedented access here, though, too, though, for Vince to allow him backstage at a pay-per-view like this to film them. I mean, it's just such a different time. Kevin Kelly always looks so uncomfortable. Also, JR was still, it's like he was home recovering. He just wasn't on camera, I guess. He's here in the gorilla position. And Terry Taylor was still hanging around as well.
Yeah. It's funny, all these guys, then they all went to...
Well, Taylor had that run in late 98, early 99. He was doing like backstage interviews and stuff. Because remember, Jim Ross would always make Red Rooster jokes. I don't remember any of that.
Yes.
And then he jumped to WCW and they wanted to sign a contract. I'd say that was probably a poor decision on his part. Well, speaking of mullets, I think Michael Hayes counts for five right here.
Yeah, that thing. I think it's glistening. That's a world championship one right there.
Was he still Doc Hendricks at this point? No, 99, he was Michael Hayes, right? Nah, he might have summoned Doc Hendricks. I don't know if he became Michael Hayes until...
I don't think he was Michael Hayes, so he was with the Hardys or Edge and Christian,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that was like in June or July, so I think you're right. I think you're still Doc Hendricks here. I didn't realize he was still doing like...
Priest collar.
Yes. I didn't realize he was still doing like on-camera stuff at this point. Mm-mm. Like interviews and shit.
Hey, look, one of the Harris brothers. You can always find them in every conceivable wrestling production.
Terry Taylor's back with the company now, right? Is he, like, doing a part of the training or something?
I don't know.
This is one of my favorite versions of Rock's entrance theme.
I feel bad for these poor bastards who paid for front row seats, and now they got to feel bad because Foley's kids are fucking crying their eyes out. They can't even enjoy the match.
They can't enjoy the match.
I know.
I think I'm one of the few people who really liked Foley's in-between theme, the like hybrid rock mix of the original Mankind theme, the one that played when he won the title.
Here's my question, though. They knew Rock, obviously Mick knew what was going to happen in this match and how it was going to end. Was it really smart to bring his kids to this show?
Well, it was only supposed to be a one chair shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he brought them because he was taking them to Disneyland.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I knew that, but...
You're just a Foley hater, we know. So just a lot of highlights here now. We're into the basically the climax of the movie. This is, I think we're heading into the final scenes here. It's the Foley family watching the Rumble 99 match. Did you guys watch the show live?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think I did.
I think, definitely watched this live.
I think Adam got the tape for us at school like a couple weeks later. Because I think we were already probably back in class.
I was still at this point still watching even the ECW and WCW pay-per-views live and taping them.
So you ordered every month?
Oh, yeah.
Parents must have loved you.
Well, you know what? My dad was a wrestling fan, so
it worked out.
You know, he had no problem paying for him either. So.
Oh, that's good. That worked out.
They were only 20, 25 back then. 20 or 25 bucks.
Yeah, that's true. It seemed like such a big deal at the time.
I think they were 30. Weren't they 30? And then they went to 35.
That sounds about right.
And then they went to 35 in late 2000.
I don't think ECW, and they didn't have ECW pay-per-views every month, but when they had them, I don't think they were 30. I think they were 25.
Yeah, that sounds right. Because In Your House was 20. Or no, In Your House started at 15 and then became 20. So I think the longer pay-per-views were at least 25 to 30 for a while there.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's a good choice here with the Stand By Me kind of dichotomy, all these shots of Foley at home interspersed with getting
one more
his head
shot
bashed
of Lex Express outfit. Yeah.
Yes. That was a nice powerbomb on the bed.
This kid sold it.
Another Dan Severn sighting. Was that Taker even at this show? I know they just showed him backstage there, but
who was at the show?
Undertaker.
Oh. No, didn't he come out? I think he came out at some point in a match. I don't think he actually wrestled.
Yeah, he came out in is this when they abducted Midian or one of Viscera, I think maybe. It was when they abducted one
Viscera
of them.
Was he in the Rumble and they came and dragged him away, right?
Yeah, I think it was Mabel. God, Stephanie is so fucking young. I mean, at this point, you think even the mixed wife would get them out of there.
Yeah. I mean, the kids are crying.
Yeah, it's like, enough. I think she does get them out of there eventually, but this was a few seconds too long.
This guy in the Nike hat next to him was like, what the fuck are these people?
Poor dude in the Nike hat is like, they know it's not real, right?
He's like, I'm just trying to cheer this on. I can't even do this. This is so fucking awkward. He's like, God damn it, I paid like $700 for this seat.
I have to double check our actual review. I believe it was 11 chair shots total.
Wow.
Yeah, this is a disturbing end. I do not ever feel good as a wrestling fan after watching this scene. You know, and you can say what you want about the quality of the product nowadays compared to back then, but I mean, at least a safety portion like this has come a little bit of a way. They don't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, God, the late 90s were such a war zone, no pun intended, of, right. You know, it's just like no one knew anything. They just beat the shit out of each other with chair shots and everything else. Dr. Francois. Tony Garea, we need him for a promo right now. I'm sorry, you can't talk to him.
Yes.
Mike Myers in the back there.
Slaughter his chin from 20 miles away.
He, I don't know. It's just not much to say about it. Foley getting a standing ovation. Steve Blackman, of course, refuses. I don't clap for anyone.
Maybe add some glow-in-the-dark nunchucks, I would.
I hope they bring him back for part of this Raw 1000
right
people.
He showed up. Wasn't he in that battle royal you were at, Scott, when they did that? Or was Matt there? One of you was there, wasn't it?
What's that?
The Raw special when they had the battle royal with all the old people.
Yeah, and who was there?
Blackman. Didn't he show up for that?
Yes. Yes, Blackman was there. Yes, he was. He was at the Raw 15. Yeah.
I think you can read that review on a message board, bigelow34.proboards.com. One of my Raw reviews, December of 07.
Ugh. We don't even get a look at the gash. Oh, my God. This thing is so nasty. You don't see it too much. It's not as big a deal there. Wait till they clean it.
How angry do you think he's sitting there and just thinking about wanting to kill The Rock?
Oh, look at that thing. Oh, that thing's wicked.
There it is.
Crazy gash. And there's like a full camera, like you probably got Blaustein's camera crew and like WWF's camera crew filming all this as it's getting sewn up. I mean, not a surprise. He was pretty much forced under. I mean, he doesn't even do anything crazy throughout the rest of 99, really. Some bumps here and there, but.
Well, no. Well, he won the title that one night at SummerSlam, but remember late in the year, he was getting. I mean, he was wearing those awful blue sweatpants, and he was so friggin' fat. And, his matches were horrendous. It was right around December when he got back into really good shape, but, you know, by the time he started wrestling Hunter and Rumble and everything. Yeah, it's good that his two kids are there. Yeah, you're the fucking man.
I know, yeah. Classy draws, classy. That's where I seem to puke on them on the way out. Just rub it in.
Pukes right into the wound.
This'll help heal it. Come on, Dewey. You can do better than button your polo shirt all the way up. I mean, I like how Foley's just sitting here talking about what a great match it was and how that made them. It's like, I don't know. It's quite the scene. I mean, I'm still shocked that he came back and did what he did, just even just based on this and his wife's reaction. I mean, unless they just really needed the money, I don't know.
And they stayed together, too.
The first book hadn't come out yet, right?
No. That came out. Because that ends with what? How does that end, the first one?
It ends right around here.
I know he wins it.
It ends right around here.
He won the title already.
Yep. I think you're right, because the second book talks about his retirement and everything, right? Mm-hmm. Like how Road Dogg just knocked over that
Beaver
woman.
Cleavage. I appreciate it. I'm not telling you I'm sorry. Fuck off.
How you feeling? Oh, okay. Good.
I didn't catch you with that 9th, 10th, or 11th one too hard, did I?
He's trying to make him say I'm sorry.
Right, yeah. He's basically set it up for him. Yeah, after I hit you the 12th time, I realized, oh, shit, I was only supposed to do it once. I'm sorry.
That's why I'm wearing Terry Funk's underwear on my head now, Rob.
They're nice and tight. It really really holds the blood in. Not a lot of snap in the waistband. Thanks for stealing me Roland Alexander's Coke. I appreciate that, Dewey. I wish Foley just... It would have been great, even better for Blaustein if Foley just snapped and, like, popped him in the face.
I know. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for almost killing me, dickhead.
Yes, thanks. And thank you for taking my title by murdering me in front of my children. I appreciate it.
Yes.
I like Vince poetically summing up the night while getting his head stitched up.
I wonder when he got busted in the head. I wonder if maybe Stone Cold hit him in the bathroom or something, I guess. I don't know.
It's rationalization at its best right there. For every one that was offended, there's like 10 or 20 that it was a great match. And this scene kind of brings everything full circle, because we started with WWE and we're kind of, or WWF at the time, and kind of closing it out with it as well. Yeah. So, I mean, looking at this, who do you think was like the standout story? You know, we had the main characters were pretty much Jake, Foley, Funk. And they had some more ancillary ones like draws and stuff. But, I mean, do you think it was Foley was pretty much meant to be the main character here?
I don't know. I'd have to lean a little more towards Funk.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Jordan?
You know, I think they really wanted to paint Mick as like an actual normal person in the wrestling world. So, in that sense, I think that's why they, you know, I don't know. It's a tough call between Mick and Terry, obviously.
What parts, what do you take away as like the most poignant, striking moment of all this? Is it this scene with Foley? Is it the Jake, you know, how far Jake has fallen? Is it Funk retiring? You know, what kind of stays with you the most, Jordan?
It's Jake. I mean, this stuff's nice and stuff, but just watching somebody who knows how messed up he is. I mean, Jake knows exactly what's wrong with him, but he doesn't do anything with it. It's just really interesting to watch somebody that smart be that stupid.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think Jake was definitely the takeaway from this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the wrestler, which we're going to plan on reviewing as well at some point, was almost like the sequel to Jake here. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It like picks up where he left off in the hotel room doing crack wrestling indie shows.
Yep. I do like that he got the Foley story in there to kind of show that, you know, wrestling's already got this terrible, terrible image.
Right.
Among people who hate it. Hey, there's some normal people out of here.
And here we go with the wrap up now to close things out.
Yeah. Poor Tony.
Mike Modest now drives his van for other reasons. He carries around Dennis Stamps buckets.
Roland is always chewing.
Yeah, always chewing.
Always.
Well, you don't keep that physique up without getting some exercise in.
Not a kid.
So Funk retired June 99. Then he went to WCW, right? Right after that?
Yep.
Yeah. Fucking Jake, what a loser. Daddy, how come you didn't wrestle at SummerSlam 89? Why did you have to sell that neck injury for so long?
Nope. The Nashville Network. Wow.
Yes, old school. Roller derby.
Roller jam.
God. Just think of, you know, 2000 when they're saying this, they're just going public and everything, just how big on the top of the world they were.
Right.
It's amazing to think, you know, they seem so infallible at the time. So he's pretty much just wrapping things up. So I guess we'll do the same. Yeah. Any final thoughts regarding the movie, guys? Or did you enjoy it? I mean, you know, what are your thoughts? Still considered the best wrestling-based movie out there? Or feelings?
Yeah, I think so. And the easiest way I can say that is, you know, I mentioned that I took my girlfriend at the time to see it. She hates all things wrestling. When wrestling's out in our house, she leaves the room. And she likes this movie, you know. So the fact that you can get somebody who's a complete non-fan interested and invested, you know, I think shows that they did a really good job with it.
I agree. And you know, my final thought is this really was, you know, lucky on like five different levels with all the stuff he caught and the timing and the fact that Vince let him in on the inner circle and the backstage and was just, you know, who would have ever thought that could have happened? And to me, that's the most surprising part. Scott, any final thoughts?
It's just, you know, I think people, in a strange way, I think the percentage or the amount of guys that, and I guess girls, that got into the business, I think spiked, even regardless of the Jake stories or the Funk story or whatever, or even Foley getting smacked with chairs. I think the indie scene spiked even more after this movie.
Right.
And because I think just that whole allure hooked them, you know. Even after let's look at our guy John. I think John was one of the a perfect example of that, you know. I mean, by the time you met him, what'd you meet him in 2000, I guess, or right around this time?
Yeah, right around here. Yep.
He was already on his way, right? You know, he was one of those guys that got hooked in. So, as much as you saw the dark sides of it, I think the allure and the you know, the shine of the wrestling business, I think, still hooked people, and that's why they were able to get OVW and all these indie promotions were still, you know, were still growing. And so even though we saw some underbelly of the business in this movie, I think at the same time, I think people got sucked in by the luster and the allure of it, and that's why I think it still remained popular even after this. I don't know what Blaustein's intent was, but if it was to have more people just see the business, I think it succeeded.
I think it was just a way for him to explore a business that he had always loved and been a fan of, and he just wanted to, you know, see different. I think the point was to have guys at different levels, basically. And I remember hearing an interview with Barry Blaustein recently where he said Mick Foley was actually supposed to be kind of in the Jake role, the guy who had been on top and was at the bottom, because when he contacted Foley initially, he was in ECW. And that was going to be the story of how this guy was now kind of slumming it in the indies. But Foley, of course, hit the big time while they were filming it, so they kind of had to revamp things. And I think Jake just kind of fell into his lap, and I think it worked out for the best. So, so with all that said, we're not going to obviously have time to read everyone's feedback, but there is a thread on the Place to Be message board. So check it out if anyone's interested in reading you know, everyone else's thoughts regarding the movie. We will be back tomorrow night. Scott and I are going to review International Incident, and we will read your feedback then. For that, as we usually do. So we'll wrap things up. We want to thank Jordan for joining us. As always, we'd like to have you back again someday, Jordan. And probably the next time will be the trivia tournament once we get that up and running. So please visit us at bigelow34.proboards.com or on Facebook. Of course, as always, that is Scott Criscolo. I am Justin Rosero. Have a great night, everyone.
Peace.
I beg that you pray to Jesus Christ. Why? Oh, Lord. Father, don't let him bury me. Whoa. I horn MCs like Mephistopheles, bringing swords to Damocles. Secret service, keep a close watch as if my name was Kennedy. Abstract rap, simple with this street format. Gaze into the sky and measure planets by parallax. Check out the retrograde motion, kill the notion of biting and recycling and calling it your own creation. Feel like Rockwell, somebody's watching me. I got no privacy, whether on land or at sea. And for your biting zealots, your rap's a cacophonic. Hypocrite, critic, but deep inside you wish you had the pop hit. It hurts, don't it? A refugee come to your turf and take over the earth.
Yeah. See, my rhymes are the type of fly rhymes that can only get down with my crew. And if you try to take lines or bite rhymes, we'll show you how the refugees do.
Yeah, behold, this my old manifold on your rhymes. Two MCs can't occupy the same space at the same time. It's against the laws of physics. So we bet your sweet dreams break up like eurythmics. Rap rejects my tape deck, ejects projectile. Whether Jew or Gentile, I rank top percentile. Many styles, more powerful than gamma rays. My grandma pays like Carlos Santana plays Black Magic Woman. So while you fuming, I'm consuming mango juice under Polaris. You just embarrassed, cause it's your last tango in Paris. And even after all my logic and my theory, I add a motherfucker so you ignorant niggas hear me. You remember, take notes, cause I sold my rap oaths before you biting zealots. Here's a quote.
And another MC losing life tonight. Oh, I beg that you pray to Jesus Christ. Why? Oh Lord, Father, don't let him bury me. Aye. You can try, but you can't divide the tribe. These cats can't rap, Mr. Author, I feel no vibe. The magazine says the girl should've went solo. The guy should stop rapping, vanish like a noodle.
took it to the heart, but every actor plays his part. As long as someone was listening, I knew it was the start. For me to get my chance, grab my pen and revamp. Do a cameo while everybody do the dance. Quick now, cause you're running out of luck. Playing Mr. Big, I'm gonna get you, sucker. While you munching at your luncheon, I'll be planning your assassination. Like the Dutch.
I compress sound sets with my rap DBX, then drop vocals on my 4, 5, 6 amp packs. Bring terror to the shop of horror as she cry me out more. The phantom dies in the opera, and to the youngins who carry gadgets and kill 6 days a week, the rest on the Sabbath.
Hold up, hold up.
Violence ain't necessary unless you provoke me, then get buried like the great Mussolini. And for you biting zealots, your rap stars are relics. No matter who you damage, still a force pride.
Hey, another MC loses life tonight, Lord. I beg that you pray to Jesus Christ. Why? Oh, Lord, Father, don't let them bury me.
Let these cops come around here, follow, we'll come around here, just do whatever they want. Rob jokers, steal from people, shoot us down. We gotta do something about this, man. I was with Floyd up there, you know Floyd the cop, he just get a hard on for just shooting niggas. Just shoot niggas.